Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here as we begin Reading the Word, a new course of study here today. My name is Justin Reed, and I am honored to be the pulpit minister for the Arlington Church of Christ. Honored also that you have decided to spend just a small portion of your day with us here. What we're going to do is we're going to open God's Word. In fact, I'll be in 1 John, the 3rd chapter today. If you want to open your copy of Scriptures there, I'll be reading from the King James translation. 1 John chapter 3. Now, this is program 116 in our study, and it's called Hope Has Its Reasons. And if you want to study this one again, or any of the preceding ones, you can do so anytime online at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program. There you'll see, well, every one that we've done. You can play them from the site. You can stream them. You can share them with friends, and we would be honored if you would do so. The goal is for all of us to be faithful to God, obedient to His Word, and have a better understanding of His Word than when we began our study. Today I want to talk about, in 1 John chapter 3, hope. You see, dear friends, hope has its reasons. Hope is truly what sets the Christian apart from the rest of the world. So the rest of the world has no hope, yet for Christians there is a new hope, a living hope, if you will. Well, we hope for things every day, do we not? When we go to bed, we hope to have a good day when we wake up. We hope for rain when we've been through a dry spell. And when it's been raining a lot, boy, we really hope this rain lets up soon. If it doesn't, it's going to wash all the gravel out in my driveway. We hope that we can have a good day. We hope that the weather's going to be nice. We hope we're going to see some friends when we go to a gathering over the weekend. So we hope for many things. And hope in and of itself is not bad. In fact, it is wonderful. And you see, dear friends, hope is what helps encourage the Christian to progress further, to move on, if you will. We need hope in our lives, dear friends. Without hope, our life is hopeless. Without God, our life truly is hopeless. I want us to look in 1 John chapter 3, and as we're looking at John, we need to be reminded that John actually wrote the second biggest number of books in the New Testament. Now, he didn't write the longest by any means. Of course, we know the Apostle Paul wrote right at 13. He may have written 14, if that's how you view Hebrews. May have not. There is no author, so it doesn't really matter. But then next on our list, John wrote five books of the New Testament. Of course, he wrote the Gospel account according to John, which is different than the other three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He paints a different picture, still a picture of Jesus, but he goes about it a different way. He writes 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and all of the John letters, including the Gospel of John, were written towards the end of the 1st century. And he also writes the Revelation letter, so he has just a handful of books here in our study. So really, we benefit ourselves from looking at John. Now, John is the apostle whom Jesus loved. We can find that from the Gospel of John. And we see when he writes 1 John, it is just oozing with love, if I can borrow that phrase, if you will. And we're going to see that kind of come forth here today. So we're talking about hope has its reasons. And dear friends, if you have hope for the future, that being of heaven, then you will have power to live each day. I'm talking about Christianity. Can we say amen? Let it be so. There are three things that I want us to notice. What I want us to do is we're going to read some of 1 John chapter 3, take us a quick break, and when we return, we're going to go through our points. So, 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, we are now the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. For every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not, and whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sins is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message which you have heard from the beginning, that you should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. And we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seen his brother have need, and shutteth up the bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, we have not confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. This is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. He that keepeth his commandments and dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he's given us. There's 1 John chapter 3. Come back in just a moment, and we will talk about how hope has its reasons here on Reading the Word.
Reading the Word is hosted by Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ in McMinnville. The building is located at 2500 Faulkner Springs Road, just 1.2 miles off 70 on the right. Join us for Sunday worship at 9 a.m., Sunday school at 10 a.m., and worship at 11 a.m., with midweek Bible study Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Thank you, Brother Darren. Glad to be back with you here on Reading the Word. My name is Justin Reed. If you've missed any of this program or want to listen to it again, you can online anytime at readingtheword.net. That's R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Just as simple as that. Click on the radio programs. This is number 116, and hope has its reasons. Three things we know about hope from 1 John 3. Number one, we have hope because of what we are. Look at verse 1 again. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth not us, because it knew him not. What are we? Or what we are, I should say, number one, is children of God. Now, I was reading from King James, and it says sons of God, but children of God is what we are, right? We hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized for the remission of our sins. We become a child of God. And dear friends, being a child of God gives me hope. Knowing that I've done what God has commanded, to be called a child of God. And then I think about that children-parent relationship, how he, the Father, wants to talk with us and walk and hear and sing and know all about my life as he does yours. The fact that I can be a child of God, what we are, it gives me hope, dear friends. Number two, beloved, now we are the sons of God, or now are we the sons of God, I should say, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Number two reason that gives me hope for what we shall be. What do I mean? For we shall be like him. Notice here, he's talking about those that are Christians. Even John, who's writing by inspiration, does not exactly know what we'll look like on that final day. It says, but we'll be like him. And we'll see him as he is, being like God, not in a flesh, but in a spiritual side Oh, how wonderful that will be, dear friends, to be like him, to share this earthly tabernacle of clay, this body that aches and breaks and pains and breaks down. Don't have to worry about that anymore. For what we are, we shall be like him. But I want you to notice this. We shall see him as he is. You know, the Bible says no man has seen God. Wouldn't it be wonderful one day to look upon the face of the Savior, the one that created the world, the God who sent his Son to die for me upon the cross? You know, the Bible says no man has seen God. Adam and Eve probably came close when they heard the voice of God walking in the garden. I know Moses saw the back of God, as it were, as close as he could see God. And when he left the people, or when he saw the people left God, the people said, "We can't look at you. You're shining so bright. Just imagine, we shall see him as he is." And that gives me hope, being like him. But number three, what gives me hope for heaven? It's what we should be. Look at verse 3 of 1 John 3. "Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure." We will be pure. No impurities. You know, the life of a Christian is depicted as one that should be pure. People buy pure gold. You don't want just gold straight out of the ground. It may have impurities in it. And so you'll take it to a smelter, and they'll melt, and they'll turn the degrees up, and they will literally smelt the metal, and the gold will sink to the bottom, and anything that is impure will come to the top, and they'll take a skim in, and they will skim off the impurities, and then you will have pure gold. And that's what people want. That's what people buy. Dear friends, we are told in Scripture, the church at Laodicea in Revelation 3 is told to buy gold tried in fire, buy the truth tried in fire. Sometimes trials, a good thing, produces stronger metals. We will be pure. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as wool," or as white as snow. Snow is pure. I love a fresh fallen snow, because it reminds me how I can be pure. I can be washed from my sins in Christ, and only in Christ. See, dear friends, the Christian, we have hope. And sadly, the world does not have this hope. I frequent the funeral home, probably not as much as I should. Sometimes I feel like I'm there more than I should be there. But it's just to be there for a moment of comfort for those who have lost a loved one. And I would rather go to the funeral or the visitation for a Christian, for a saint who's been a faithful Christian for many years, many decades of their lives, because they are a joyous occasion. Oh yes, there are tears, but there's an overwhelming sense of joy, for a servant of the Lord has gone home. You know, the psalmist says, precious in the eyes of the Lord, the death of one of his saints, Psalm 116 and verse 15. But oh, how I'm saddened to go to a visitation for someone who was not a member of the church, or who did not live the life that a Christian should live. And it's a sad time, knowing they don't have that hope of heaven. Now, the family may want to think that, but the true family say, well, that they don't have that hope. Yet we as Christians do. Why? From 1 John 3, 1 through 3, for what we are, we're children of God. Number two, what we shall be, we will be like him. And what we should be pure. And today we can be children of God, doing our best to live like him, living a pure, honest life. I hope this lesson has given you hope. It certainly has afforded me hope, and I've appreciated the time that we've had allotted to sit together and study today. And I do hope that we can do this again next time, same place. If you do want to catch any of this lesson again, or if you know somebody who needs a lesson on hope, love for you to share it with them online anytime at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. Click on where it says the radio program, and you can find this was program 116, and hope has its reasons. Share that, listen to it again, or any of the preceding ones. We'd be greatly appreciative. Until next time, may the good Lord bless you. May he keep you. Please continue to pray. Thank you for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.